This is a relationship workshop. I would like to introduce our main speakers, Wendy and Howard.
Hey, family. I'm really nervous. I didn't prepare anything ahead of time, so while I'm there, I just quickly wrote in my notes just a few things in case I get nervous. My big fear is getting up here, blanking out, and just standing here not saying anything. Anyways, I also want to thank the convention committee for seeing something, not just to me, but in my recovery that I may have to share with some of you. So, let's see. Relationships. Relationships is one of the things I always thought I had handled. I thought I got this down. I've had relationships my whole life, not just with my parents and my sisters and family, but ever since I was a young kid, I was always in a relationship. So obviously, I know what's going on. I can handle this. I didn't know anything. I was not very good at relationships, and it wasn't until I came into NA that I was aware of that. There's a reason why they often say, if you can, stay out of relationships your first year. It's not in our basic text. I think in our basic text, though, it's in the section under recovery and relapse, because relationships can take many of us out. I came into NA because I met a cute guy at a dance. That brought me in here. And I came in and I wanted the relationship to work, so I started working my NA program because I wanted this to work. Yes, I had a guy back home I'm, you know, recently broke up with in the house, but, you know, I want this to work. But I don't think he ever knew how sick I was. Well, maybe he did. But, you know, I remember some things from that relationship. I remember one time that we were supposed to have this exercise. His therapist said we had to have this exercise to work on our communication, where each of us would have just 3 minutes where we'd talk and then listen to the other person. It sounds simple enough. And he would talk, and I would just sit there, listen, no judgment, and just listen. And then it would be my 3 minutes that I'd have to speak. I was mostly silent. I really had nothing to say. Unless I was talking about you or answering a question that you asked me, I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to talk about my feelings, talk about what was going on with me. I had to talk about me, and I didn't know how to do that. I could talk about you, what you were going through, you know, things that you need to be doing. Gossip I had down, but I didn't know how to talk about me. And it was embarrassing, and it was also very eye-opening because I realized I didn't know what to say. So my 3 minutes were a moment of meditation and silence, which was kind of embarrassing. And I remember another time when we were in the car, and I'd be in the car with a lot of times people would be, you know, they'd be jamming, they'd be singing, the music would be up, and I'm quiet. I would not sing. I wanted to sing. If I'm in the car by myself, I'm singing and I'm jamming, I'm having a good time. But as soon as other people were around, I was silent. I was afraid to open my voice and to sing around you guys because I was afraid that, one, I'd get the words wrong, which I probably did. I make up words to songs all the time, or get them wrong, or, you know, afraid someone was going to tell me, you know, Wendy, shut up, you don't know the words. Wendy, shut up, you don't know how to sing. But I was just so afraid. I just couldn't open up my voice. I had the ability to take off my clothes, get naked, and have sex with you, but I didn't know how to sing in front of you. I didn't know how to share my feelings with you. And I had awareness, you know, that maybe I probably shouldn't be in a relationship if I didn't have those basic skills. Now, I had that awareness, but I didn't want to get out of the relationship because I was not only addicted to the drugs, I was addicted to the relationships. I was addicted to anything to make me feel better than myself, and relationships definitely did that for me. So oftentimes I would stay in relationships longer than I needed to. But it was in my recovery, my second year anniversary. I didn't say anything or tell anybody in case I backed out, but I made up this little recovery words to a little from a different song, and I sang it at my second year anniversary. You know, I was just so proud of myself for that, because I was able to just get out of myself and to just do it. No one offered me a singing contract or anything, but it was a way for me to get out of myself and my feelings and to just be okay. And that was a big thing for me in my recovery, just being okay with myself, because I want so much to connect with you, but I have such a hard time with that. And the hardest time for me oftentimes was before and after meetings. Once a meeting would start, I could sit and I could just be quiet, because you could saw with my 3 minutes of talking, I could be quiet. But what I couldn't do is just be able to talk with people. So before meetings and after meetings were, especially in early recovery, were very painful, because I didn't know what to say to you. I would be sitting there in my head by myself, usually, because, you know, I didn't know a lot of people when I first came in, and just wanting to talk with you guys. And in my head, I'd be like, would someone talk to me? Someone please talk to me. I don't know anybody here. Would someone please talk to me? Everybody's going to think I'm some loser and doesn't have any friends because no one's talking. Would someone please talk with me? I want to connect with you. It was so loud in my head, but I was just so quiet and peaceful standing there, because I just didn't know how to connect and to be able to be with people and to share my feelings. But that got better as I was... That relationship that I came in eventually ended, and I had several years in my recovery where I was just single. I just was focusing on me. I wasn't in a relationship with anybody, which means I didn't have a man to fix, a man to focus on, because I always got in relationships with people that were usually sicker than me, because then I could focus on them. Their character defects were much bigger than mine. And so I didn't have to focus on myself. So I finally had just me. I didn't have anybody to focus on but me. And that's when my recovery took off. That's when I was really connecting with the women. I'm connecting with my sponsor. And slowly, you know, and going, writing over the steps and going over with my sponsor was a way for me to get a little bit more comfortable sharing with you guys. So that was one of the first relationships that really made a difference for me, because if I could share stuff with her, and it was okay. I didn't die from anxiety or fear of what, you know, I shared. And she didn't run out on me saying that, oh, you're such a horrible person, that maybe I could come and share that with you guys. And that became a little bit easier as time went on. And then I also had to look at my relationship with my sponsor, because I remember one time I was going through something and I said, you know what, I don't know if I want to call my sponsor, because I have so much that I have to catch her up on. I was just going to call one of my friends that knows everything. And that was another awareness for me. If I ever get to the point where I have to catch my sponsor up on something, then I'm not calling my sponsor enough. So I made a commitment to myself to, I need to call my sponsor regularly and just let her know, you know, think, hey, nothing's going on, or this is going on, you know, or just mundane stuff that may not seem like much, but if something happens, you know, there's a bump in the road, those mundane things aren't so mundane, so I need to be able to have that regular relationship with my sponsor, which has been helpful. And then eventually I started learning a lot about myself when I was single, and I eventually started to date. In recovery, I dated some people outside of recovery, but I dated a lot of people, and not a whole lot, but I did date. I did date a lot of people in recovery, but it was good practice, because I didn't know how to date. I know how to go out with you. We're sleeping together, and then we're in an instant relationship, and I'm finding a drawer for you at my house for you to put your stuff in. What I did know how to do was to go out with you, have a dinner with you, talk, get to know you, what you like, share with you a little bit of things that I like, and maybe if we have some of those things in common, maybe we can also do those, and we'll see where this goes. And that was, it sounds so simple, but that was really hard. I didn't know how to do that. So I had a team of women that would call me after the date, and they say, Wendy, you know, they wouldn't say, how was he? Was he cute? Did he drive a nice car? No, Wendy, how were you? How did you do? Did you make sure you kept your pants on? Did you make sure if he's going to give you a kiss and you didn't want to kiss him, that you didn't allow him to kiss him? If you didn't want to hold his hand and he grabbed your hand, did you make sure you didn't let him hold your hand? Because I didn't know how to have those boundaries, because I didn't know how to stand up for myself. And for me to be able to do that was big. For me to, if someone asked me out and wanted to pay for dinner, to let them pay and not have to pay for my part because I didn't feel like I was worthy. And that was a big thing. So I was able to go ahead and just date people without any physical contact, just to get to know people. And I got to know a lot of people. I got to know some people that I really didn't want to go on a second date. And that was okay. And for the people I did, you know, we got to know. And then some people became friends, and some people I didn't want to have anything to do with. But it was okay. There's no hurt feelings. We all kind of went our separate way. And that was really good. And actually, I did meet my husband. I did meet him in NA doing service work. It's, if you want to get to know somebody, get involved in service work, because the people who are serious about their recovery, they're oftentimes in service work. And that's where I met my husband. I met him. We didn't start dating till years later, but I met him there, and we started dating. And one of the things that I always like to mention is just like we were on our seventh date before we had our first kiss. And for me, that was big. And that's not because I didn't want to kiss him, but that was because I wanted to get to know him and allow him to get to know me. And when we had that kiss, I wanted that kiss. But it was just really nice that just how it just developed. Leave it at that. But I still had a lot of work to do on relationships. You know, I still needed a lot of work. And fortunately, I'm very grateful for the steps we have that I needed to work on, and looking at my character defects, because my control would come out in my relationships with people. My judgment would come out. All my character defects are coming out. So yeah, if you want to work harder on your recovery, yeah, get in a relationship. It will cause you to do a lot more step work. At least that was my experience. It made me work my recovery harder. Like one of the times, I remember my husband was watching television in the morning, and I had this rule that I didn't tell anybody about, but I had this rule that every Saturday morning, this was my pattern, that every Saturday morning you get up and you do the chores and you get the house cleaned, and then after that, then you can relax and do whatever. But my husband didn't have that same rule in his head. He wanted to just sit, relax, and watch television in the morning. Well, I'm like, doesn't he know? So I proceeded to start cleaning and start vacuuming, and he's watching television. No, I am vacuuming right in front of him, and very angrily vacuuming in front of him, thinking maybe he'll get the point and turn off the television and say, "Oh, Wendy, let me help you with that." That didn't happen. I did learn something with that, because those kind of things, you know, when I would go and I'd complain about whatever to my friends, they would always say, "Well, what's your part in it?" And they would not say, you know, "I can't believe he didn't get up and help you." No, it was like, "Wendy, maybe you need to share with him your expectations, and you guys can work on that together. He may not have that same plan as you, but you at least need to share with what's going on in your head." And sharing what was going on with my head was always very scary, because I thought I had some sick thoughts in my head. And I also had the expectation that you already should know a lot of these things. Anyways, I found out that no one can read my mind, no matter how hard I'm trying. And also, I didn't realize how my behaviors can also hurt people. Like, I was trying to be a better wife. One of the things I heard some guy who walked to talk about relationships, he said, you know, when you come in, you know, greet the person at the door, you know. you know, everybody says, you know, it's nice to have their dog come in and jump all over the door. I said, well, we didn't have any pets. But you know what? I wanted to be the person when my husband came in to be there, to excited to greet him. So when my husband comes in the door, wherever I am, I get up and I go give him a hug and kiss and welcome, whatever. And he eventually started to do the same for me. I never told him to, and I didn't have that expectation, but it was just a benefit that he started to. But there was one day I was angry at him. I don't even remember what I was angry at him for. It was probably something little. He didn't get up and vacuum on a Saturday morning. But I remember him hearing open the door, and I was sitting in the chair, and I was just angry, and I just sat there. And I just sat there being angry. Instead of getting up and saying, hey, hon, I'm feeling a lot of anger, and this is going on, and I just need to share this with you, I just sat there being angry. And it wasn't until, we actually, we're in couples therapy, surprise, and he shared how much that hurt him, what I did. And because I was being mean, and I was being punishing, and I wanted to hurt him and get back at him, but I didn't realize how it really hurt him. Did I really want to hurt him? No. And I really also didn't like my behavior. So I had to look at that and not act out on those kind of behavior and be punishing in that kind of way. And it just showed me the importance of me being able to share my feelings, sharing what's going on with myself, and to be able to just my expectations and share that was really helpful. Because I don't want to be that kind of person. And it also has helped me with my relationships with my kids growing up. My kids are NA babies. They grew up in the rooms. They know the Serenity Prayer, and they also know a lot of the traditions better than some of us here. They know about the importance of anonymity, and so they also saw how we behave, and because of making amends when I would either raise my voice or act out in anger with my kids or say something that I shouldn't have or forgot my daughter in timeout for, I don't know, 30 minutes. I don't know, it was a long time. For me to be able to go and, you know, I'm so sorry, I shouldn't have done that. And the benefit is just like, they also, when they act out, whatever, they come back and they say that they're sorry. And we had a difficult time with our son in teenagers' year. He was horrible. I mean, he would tell us what horrible parents we are, you know, this is a toxic environment for me to live in, and the only thing keeping me alive are my friends. You guys are, you know, horrible parents. You know, he would say that so much, I almost started to believe that. But fortunately, I had you guys for my checks and balances to come in and say, no, that's not correct. And it took years. It was so hard, but it took years. But I never would say those mean things to him that he said to us back. I never would put him down or start name-calling him. And it took several years, but he finally came back, and he apologized for how he was to us there. And that is such a gift. And now we've got a wonderful relationship with him. But that's only because I need to do what I need to do and kept my relationship, my side of the street, clean. And as far as my relationships with people in NA, with friends, it's been wonderful. I feel like I have people I can talk to today. It has changed. I had one friend that I was so excited that I finally have a friend, and you know, we would have coffee all the time, and I don't know, a year or two, whatever, we'd have coffee all the time, and all of a sudden she wasn't available for anymore. She couldn't make it. And I felt like she kind of ghosted me, and I don't know what happened. And, you know, I would save that time that we'd always met, and I wouldn't meet with anybody else for coffee because she would always meet with me, and she, wasn't available anymore. And I text her, you know, happy birthday. I wouldn't hear anything back or call. And so I just kind of had to let that relationship go, but it really hurt. I felt like, is there something wrong with me? And I also had, this past year, I had a friend go ahead and I offered to take her to a meeting. said, hey, we're going to go to the meeting. I'll come pick you up. And she says, okay, I'm going to go with this other person. Just wait to hear back from them. And immediately got a text back from her. And the text read, guess who just invited themselves to come along with us? That text wasn't meant for me. And I immediately felt hurt. And I'm just like, I was offering to pick her up. So I figured I'm not going to wait for her. I'm just in the car. I'm going to go to the meeting, and I'm going to the meeting, and I'm just crying. It's just like thinking, what is wrong with me? Nobody wants to be my friend. And I'm not thinking about all the friendships that I do have, but I'm thinking about the one friend who ghosted me that I was a friend and close with for years who just doesn't contact me anymore. And then this person who is doing that to me and just crying, what's wrong? And, you know, I called my sponsor and she, you know, kind of calmed things down and, you know, called another person. I went to the meeting. And, you know, and the other person, they said, are you okay? And I said, no, I felt like the other two women were coming along. I just wanted to say, you know what these bitches just did to me? I was so angry and so hurt because they knew them, and I know they'd have my back because I'm right. Anyways, I just said, no, I said, I just had a friend really hurt my feelings. And I said, I need to sit by somebody I feel safe. Can I sit next to you? And she says, yeah. And she pulled right on that next to me. And I was able to get through that. And I was able to actually eventually went ahead, and that other friend who did that, I was able to talk with her, with somebody else there. And she eventually did say that she's sorry and she doesn't like that behavior that she did. So that's coming around. But, you know, friendships are hard. All I can say about friendships is just like, and relationships, they're difficult, they're painful, but they're so worth it. There's no way of getting in and being in any kind of relationship without getting hurt. I can guarantee you, I love that man over there, my husband, more than anything, but I know at some point in the future, I'm going to do something that's going to hurt his feelings. And it's not because I'm trying to or I want to, it's just like I make mistakes, and I know I'm going to. But hopefully he knows my heart and knows that I'll come around and repent and apologize for it. But it's just like there's no way of getting out of any relationships without going through some pain. But it's definitely worth it for having that connection, because the opposite of addiction is just really, we need to have that connection. And I love the connection that I have with people in NA. And that's all I got to share.
Hey everyone, my name's Howard and I'm an addict. Hey, before this meeting, we never discussed what we're going to talk about. But I did ask the one question, do you want to go first? And she goes, yes. So I said, okay. So meanwhile, I'm sitting there, I'm waiting, my heart's doing this, I get the little message on my Apple Watch, your heart's beating too fast. I'm not kidding at all. It only happened one other time. I get nervous before I speak in a meeting, and people go, why? You have like 37 years clean. Why? I'm like, because I'm human. I'm allowed to, and it's okay. So when it comes to relations, I like to talk a lot about my relationship with Wendy and like how we got here today. When I came to Narcotics Anonymous, what she shared also, I didn't know anything about relationships. I thought I did, because I was in constantly relationships. But when I came to NA, and I was very serious about coming to Narcotics Anonymous, I came in February 23rd, 1987. I came at the age of 19. All right. Thanks. So I came in, and I heard about you shouldn't be in a relationship your first year. And I was in a relationship when I came in. So I told the girl I was with, I said, listen, I really, really taking this recovery seriously. I shouldn't be in a relationship. And she was like, okay. No, why? She was like, all right. I think she was wanting the out, but she was afraid to have the out. I mean, I knew I was a sick one because I was using and she was not, but I was just like, all right, good to see you, thanks. So I did. I stayed out in a relationship for my first year. Then I hit my first year, and it was off to the races. So, and here I am in Narcotics Anonymous, a lot of beautiful women in Narcotics Anonymous. And they were talking to me in Narcotics Anonymous. And I want to say this before I go any further. Narcotics Anonymous is not a dating service. But no judgment. So I started dating. But like what Wendy shared also, I did not know how to date. I would find somebody I was attracted to. They were attracted to me. Clothes were off. Have that sex, you know, first 30 days, you know, having sex in every position, everywhere possible. But then after the 30 days, it's like, what do we do now? Talk? And then I found out I have nothing in common with this person at all. And I did that throughout my whole first year. From year one until year two. I'm like, this is crazy. But I didn't know what to do. And I'm taking suggestions from these group of guys who are doing the same thing I'm doing. And I'm going, why is it working for you? You're not, what is happening? Because I'm not feeling it. But they look happy. But I forgot to ask them, are you happy? And I really had no idea. I truly did not have a relationship or anything like that. But I thought this was normal. Because no one really truly taught me. So I'm having relationships. And then I get into a couple relationships. I think about before I met Wendy, my longest relationship ever with a woman in the program, not in the program, but she was actually not in the program. She was actually 2.5 years. And I have to be very honest with you, after a year, it was very painful. Because, once again, I didn't know how to have a relationship. And the reason why, because I didn't know how to communicate properly. Because I was afraid to communicate properly. And I was sure about this one girl where she would always love to make me coffee. And I always had coffee with cream and sugar. So she put, like, it was, like, really sweet. And instead of me saying, hey, listen, can you put a little sugar? I'm like, no, it's okay. I'll just take coffee with cream. So then it tasted like hot milk. So now I'm like, how about just make me a cup of coffee, if you want to make me a cup of coffee. So I've been drinking black coffee ever since. But instead of like actually showing, hey, listen, this is the way I like my coffee. I love that you want to make me a cup of coffee. But instead of me showing her, I'm like, no sugar, no cream. You know, we'll just stop right there. But not proper communication. But I did not get the hint then? No, I did not. You know, that relationship ended because, you know, unfortunately she cheated on me. But it didn't stop me from seeing her. Because I'm like, no, it's okay. We'll work on the relationship. I can work on the relationship with the both of us, you know. Because I was like, the fear of being alone. Yeah. You know, fear of being alone. I love to be loved. I love that someone likes me. But even though she cheated on me. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, is she going to do it again? But I always showed up with a smile on my face. And it was just painful. So I did end that relationship did end. I had to end that relationship. And actually I got into a relationship with somebody else where she was one of the ones after I had a year clean, she was one of my 30-day, 1-month relationships. And we worked things, you know, we were like, how can I put it? We went out, but it was very, once again, right, bed, you know, the whole thing. But we started talking and she was in the program. But that relationship there was actually a very verbally abusive relationship. And my role in that, once again, not communicating, and I was the victim. I played that victim role. And I didn't know what to do. And because, once again, I didn't want to leave because of my insecurities of being alone and not asking for help, and I really didn't know what to do. And it came to the point, after being with her, she was abusive, but I didn't say anything. Like, listen, I don't like when you talk to me that way. I mean, I wish I had the skills now, but I didn't. And there was a reason for that, because I was not meant to be with her. So through these relationships that I've had before I met Wendy, I learned how to work on myself a lot. So then I also needed to get advice on dating from different people than the guys I was hanging out with. So I had these group of women I was friends with in Narcotics Anonymous, and they gave me some wonderful suggestions. Like, for instance, they go, Howard, you know, maybe you should try dating. I'm like, that's what I'm doing. They go, no. Dating. When you go out, have no expectations, and you don't have sex with them. And I was like, what? No sex, but how do you know if you're compatible? Talk to them first. All right. So I learned how to date in NA. And I was dating. When I mean dating, I really was not having sex with any of these women that I was dating. Just going out, getting to know them, have dinner, no expectations, make sure my side of the street is clean, and just having fun. But and it was great because I know for me, when I found out, when I was doing the beginning, sex complicates a lot of things. It really did. Of course, it took me a while to figure that out. But thank God I figured it out when I did. And then it came to dating Wendy. I know it's funny. I did meet Wendy early on, like she said, in service work. And we were at an area service in the Northwest area. And here comes, she walks into the room. I'm a GSR. She walks in. And I was just like focused on her and like everyone else. And the whole background was blurred out. And I was, and it was like slow motion. I was like, wow. Very beautiful. Smart. And so I asked some friends of mine, what's your deal? And they go, she's in a relationship. I'm like, all right, I don't need to know. So I had to go out for some more pain before I met her. But when it came to dating again, it was actually March of 96. I was at an NA dance in the Bay Area. And I was there hanging out with my friends, just having a good time. And some friends of mine from the Northwest area, we were talking. They go, hey, are you dating people? I'm like, yeah, I am. They go, why don't you go out with Wendy? And they said, and I go, well, isn't she in a relationship? They go, that was years ago. I'm like, all right, that sounds great. So they gave me her number, and I found out afterwards, like, they were calling her on the way home. Never heard who's going to ask her out. It's going to be Howard. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. I found out that after that, her response was, he's all right. He's funny. Not attractive. Funny. Okay. So I called and asked her out. I said, hey, Wendy, this is Howard. I would love to take you out on a date. Would you go on a date with me? She goes, yeah. I said, great. I hung up the phone. I'm like, date and time. Need date and time. Date and time. Called her back. Got a date and time. So once again, we're still dating. We're just dating. Just, and actually, I'll be honest with you, I stood her up on her first date. Not on purpose. Calmed. It was purely by accident. I started a brand new job. I was away for the weekend, and I came back. I left on a Friday, and I came back on a Monday. And cell phones were not the thing. And so I had a landline with an answering machine attached, mini tape, and there was like 7 messages on there, all from her. She goes, hey, just let you know, I mean, she lived in Carroll County, where we live today still, and I lived in Baltimore, and she goes, hey, just let you know, I'm at my work, so you don't have to go all the way out there. She goes, okay, I'm done my job, just let you know, by the 5th message, she was angry. Every right. But I felt sick after the 3rd message, and it went up to 7. It was too late for me to call her. I called her the next day, and I apologized, humbly apologized. I said, listen, I am so sorry. And then I shared with her, I would love to take you out just as an apology, no strings attached. So the least I could do is just take you out, and after that, you don't have to see me anymore. We went out on a date. We had a good time. We had dinner, went to the movies, and we've been seeing each other ever since. And it's been great. And we've done, you know, our time together, they've got a lot of peaks and valleys through the years. And the biggest thing for me, once again, communication. So I have 2 extremes. I either would shut down, become, as Wendy described me many times, become small, or I would blow up and have a yelling, out-of-body experience. Nothing in between. And I would actually, and on this end, when I would blow up, I would be talking at Wendy rather than to Wendy. And unfortunately, I was brought up in a household where yelling at the top of your lungs was normal. Children were seen and not heard, and everybody else allowed us wins. So I had to learn how to communicate. And one thing, I want to share this, and early on in our relationship, I was, thank you. Early in the relationship, I had to learn how to communicate, like I said. But the thing is, what was not fair to her, I did not work on my previous relationships about what happened. And I brought all that baggage in. and I was not trusting her. I questioned her a lot. I was talking at her because I was like, you know, the verbally abusive that I had. And she shared with me, she goes, Howard, it is not fair to me that you bring in all your previous relationships into this relationship. Stop it. And that's where part of the change came in. And I needed to hear that. I didn't even realize I was doing it. So I learned to work on myself, and I did step work like a monster. I seeked outside help. There was a time we were heading for a divorce because of the lack of communication on my part that I know that I'm gonna bring up talking about me, my part. And you know, Wendy talked about where we greet each other at the door. And during that time, we actually still hugged each other, you know. And someone asked me not too long ago, like, what are the one thing, you know, what do you guys do? And we talk about greeting each other at the door. And this one person said to me, well, what if I don't want to greet my wife at the door? What about that? And which is a valid question. And Narcotics Anonymous has taught me a long time ago, in NA, there are things that we need to do, even though we don't want to do. So, and during those times, it was tough, but we still did it, which is fantastic. Skipping to where we are today, I love my wife a lot. We do a lot of things together. We go to meetings together. We go to a lot of meetings. During Zoom, we will dial in every night. And you just see Wendy and Howard right there. And we love to go to meetings, and we love doing service work, and I love being with her. It's beyond my wildest dreams. It truly is. You know, she talked about the issues that we had with our son, and I think what was very important when all that happened, we were on the same page there for each other. Because I could very easily blame, this is your fault this is happening. You coddled him through all these years. I could very easily do that, but it's not true, because I didn't want to look at my part. So we were there together, and we cried together. We seeked help from people, from you guys. Like, we got a plan. One time, one of the many times where he came in and, like, you know, he's like, you guys have a toxic relationship. Who does breakfast for dinner? What is wrong with you two? And he left the room, and I looked at Wendy, and I said, I think he meant to say on the end of the sentence, bitch. So then, after that, every time he came into the room and did that, or he liked to be verbally abusive, he would leave. She and I would look at each other, and we would go, bitch. It helped us so much, being on the same page, relationship. And helped us through a time where it could have gone very wrong. Very, very wrong. But we were there for each other. We talked to each other. We tell each other what's going on. There was many times with my family, I'll share this one last story and I'll shut it down. So our families are very different. Her family, very conservative, Christian family. My family, very loud. Loud. You know, just, oh my gosh. So anyway, when it comes to family events, family things, like when it comes time for the holidays, when we meet with her family for Christmas, you know, I would get these gifts from her mom. Her mom is a terrible gift giver. It's not that she forgets. It's just the gifts are terrible, by the way. And through the years, I would be like, what is this? And Wendy's answer would be like, oh, that's just my mom. And I'm like, all right. And through the years, it's just like, I would get angry, but then after a while, it's just like, all right, it is what it is. And then 2 years ago, you know, we do this white elephant thing, but her mom brought a gift for everybody. And I'm like, all right, it is what it is. You know, we started doing the white elephant thing because everyone was sick and getting the crappy gifts from her. And we figured white elephant, only one person would get the crappy gift. It's white elephant roulette. We have no idea who's going to get it. But her mom gave me a gift. And it was a card in a gift bag, and some people know this story, but it said she bought me a magazine subscription to a Christian-based magazine. I'm Jewish, just to let you know. She knows I'm Jewish. She was at the wedding. We had a rabbi and a minister. There, it wasn't the minister and the minister's helper. It wasn't like that. So I'm processing what to do. And there's a lot to the story, but I want to share about my part with Wendy. So There was a, it was like, oh. So I was just like, I saw it, and I just looked to her. I just said, thank you. I shared with Wendy what her mom, I showed her the card. And instead of Wendy saying, oh, that's just my mom, Wendy said, I am so sorry that you got something like that. I feel getting emotional. I just cried. Being there for me, well, that was huge. Biggest gift ever for her to be there for me for that. That's what I wanted in a relationship. That's what I still want. So I find it to be very important when it comes to bringing in family. This is the most important thing. This. Through the years, my family has not been the greatest with her, but I've always been there for her. And for her to be there for me that for that time was the best. So, sorry, I'm very grateful. I'm very blessed. And I look forward to continue our relationship with her and I. And that's all to share, guys. Thanks for listening.